Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
All right, good morning. Man, I'm still so excited about this series. I forgot this is week two. I was going to say I'm so excited. I'm still excited. I love talking about relationships. Pastor Kerry and I both, it's really strong in our hearts that you guys have extraordinary relationships with your families. If you're married, we want you to have extraordinary marriages. That's why we're focusing a whole series to help you in the area of relationships. The reason we had the game was so we can be reminded that relationships can be fun. We can have a good time. I mean, we were celebrating. Man, Stellan Tegoo set the bar for all of us, right? Any of us that have been married for a while, at lunch today, we should be remembering these things. When did we meet? When was our first? We've been married for almost 24 years. So a first date was longer than some of you guys have been alive, right? When we think back. But it's good for all of us to think about these things and remember how fun relationships can be. And man, if you think God never remembers your anniversary, imagine that. Show up for church and have an anniversary gift. That's awesome. So it's just exciting to talk about this and exciting to learn. Last week we talked about extraordinary love. Part of that is because we feel that ordinary is not good enough. None of us in here just want to settle for ordinary, not in our life, not in our relationships, not in our marriages especially. And I prepared just a little extra thing for us as a follow-up from last week. These are some ways to show extraordinary love in your relationships. Can we put these up here? I don't want to take too much time, but just to remind us, we should be saying it. Man, if you want to show extraordinary love, say it. Tell people you love them. Tell your wife. Tell your husband. Tell your family. Tell your friends. If you love them, tell them. You will never regret saying it. You can't say I love you too much. It's not one of those things at the end of your life you look back and you think, I wish I didn't tell so many people I love them. Normally people will say, I wish I said it more. I wish I expressed it. Make sure you say it. And I would go as far as to tell you this, because we've been talking about this even with the staff at the church. If you're a Christian, then the Spirit of God lives inside of you. If during the week someone's name pops up in your mind, if the face of someone you saw in church comes to memory, stop for a moment and at least pray for them. Possibly send them a text message or something, because I believe that God wants to speak to us. And sometimes it's as simple as that. You know, I told you someone on our team a few weeks ago told Pastor Kerry that they woke up in the middle of the night thinking about one of our kids. They didn't just go back to sleep and think, oh, I must have eaten that pizza too late. You know, they thought maybe God's saying something, and they prayed for our son. Man, that means a lot. God speaks to us. I texted a friend of mine last week. His name popped in my mind. I prayed for him a lot, but his name popped in my mind, so I prayed for him, and I sent him a text message just to check on him, to encourage him. He said, it's so weird that you just messaged me because my wife told me this morning that I should message you. You know what that tells us? Not only does God speak to us, sometimes he speaks to us through our wives. Amen, ladies? You know, Pastor Kerry got a hold of my notes, and right there she wrote, amen. So, I don't know if that's fair, but anyway, you know, tell people, say it. If someone comes to mind, send them that message, encourage them. I try to remember that all the time because I want to recognize God's voice, and I want to tell people how I feel. I want to encourage people. So say it, say it, say it. Number two, write it. Write it. That was the text message part. I tell people how I feel. I will send them messages, encourage them. I tell Kerry all the time, there's not one day in the last 24 plus years that I haven't told Kerry that I love her, because I do. Why wouldn't I say it? And she tells me. You can write it, text it during the day. Man, you think about that special someone, just send them a text message. Do like you did when you were dating, if you're married. Man, I used to write a lot of poems and love notes to Pastor Kerry. There is a box full of, she saved all of them. I keep them in the U.S. hidden because I would not dare bring them to Indonesia and risk someone on my staff getting a hold of them and blackmailing me with something I wrote back in the 90s. I don't even want to know. I'm scared that his son found the box, so I don't want him to be reading that stuff. But I used to write it all the time, and I probably should write more to Carrie and send more notes. And again, she put in my notes, yes, you should. That's dangerous. Give it. If you think of someone, man, if you're out and you're getting something and someone pops in your mind again, I don't mean like extravagant gifts, but maybe give someone something. You know, if you're having a coffee, invite someone to coffee and treat them. Just some ways to show extraordinary love. Say it, write it, give it, forgive it. Whatever it is, forgive it. Forgive quickly and forgive freely. Why? Because God did it for us that way. And he forgives us quickly. We just ask him, God, forgive me. Done. He forgives us quickly. It's freely. God, what do I have to do for you to forgive me? Just ask me. I love you. Oh, forgive me, God. We repent. And it's done. Just forgive quickly. It doesn't mean that you're saying you didn't get hurt. You probably did get hurt. It doesn't mean you're agreeing with what someone did. It just means you're forgiving it and letting it go. When you do that, it sets your own heart free. Because we can't carry those things in our life. And the last one is live it. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We should live it. That should be our way of life. The Bible even says it. We should be known by our love. When we are out in the world, what people should know about you and about me is, man, they are loving. Whether it's your waitress at the restaurant today for lunch, the barista at Starbucks when you're getting your coffee, man, people need to know that about you. Man, Christians are loving people. We should be the most loving people on the entire planet. You may think that the message last week about love should have been today since we're celebrating Valentine's. But it was very, very important for me to prepare everyone for this holiday season because I believe God wants the best for you. I wanted to talk about love last week before Chinese New Year launches because I believe that God has the best family in mind. I wanted to prepare everyone last week. Hey, go to your family gatherings with extraordinary love. And I believe if you did that, you saw a difference this year. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. This is where this series is focused on. We read this last week. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Man, that's good news in itself that God is always helping us. It's not, hey, do this. If you do good, I'm happy. If you fail, I'm mad. No, it's do this and I will help you. Do this, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. Man, God wants to bring the best out of us. And what he's teaching us is it doesn't matter what culture we're from, what customs we have. He's saying, I have a better way. Follow my culture. Follow my customs. Like I said last week, we pray, God, your kingdom come. Make us like you. So we don't just so quickly and so easily, without thinking, fit into the ways of the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in another version says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Man, so much of it is just changing the way we think, changing the way we see one another, changing the way we see the world, even the idea in Scripture that we should love our enemies. man, that's not the way of the world. The cultures of the world tell us, destroy your enemy. Jesus said, love your enemy. It's changing the way we think. And this says, when you do that, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If we don't just follow along with the culture, but we say, God, transform me, change the way I think, then we will know God's perfect will, and then we know what to do in life. We know what we're here for. We know what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to say, what our actions should be. How many of you want God's will in your life? You want to know God's plan. You want to do what he put you here to do. Then we need to say, God, I'm willing to be transformed. I'm willing to be changed. And I believe he will change every part of your life. He wants you to have an extraordinary life. He wants to give you his will, even in your relationships, extraordinary relationships. Part of why we had the game today was to see that it's fun, kind of have maybe a good model of relationships, because the world gives us a messed up, distorted view of relationships. I listened to a pastor this week say that he was talking about television in the U.S., but honestly, nowadays, with internet and all these things, a lot of us are kind of seeing the same things, and if it's not a U.S. show, it's somewhere else, and it's similar, and it's all the same. On television, this statistic says that 91% of sexual relationships on TV were not married couples. Man, if you want to think about the warped, twisted, messed up, distorted view of relationships and marriage and sex that we get from the world, 91% of sexual relationships on TV not represented by married people. Especially for young people, you know what the world is putting out there on TV, and it makes it, hey, this is ordinary, this is normal, this is how life is. You date someone, you have sex with them, you break up, you date someone else and have sex with them, and you're throwing your heart out all over the place. That's what the world says is normal. That's what the world says is ordinary. But God always has something better. He has extraordinary for us. And it's no wonder, based on the customs and cultures of this world, a big problem. That unfaithfulness or adultery is such a huge problem. A pastor I follow explained it very well. Can we put the slide up for the world's way? He explained the world's way of relationships and God's way. Here's the world's way. Find the right person. And if you're single here today, you're probably saying, I'm looking for the right person. I'm waiting for the right person. I'm not going to ask who. Fall in love. It sounds like something that just happens so, sounds dangerous, right? Falling in love. Like, oh, what happened? She just fell in love. You know, I can't get back up. Find the right person, fall in love, then fix all of your hopes and dreams on that person. Everything that's going to make me happy in life is all on your shoulders, Gary. If I'm happy, it's all up to you. This is on you. Oh, thank you. I said that and I got a water. What happens if I say that again? All of my happiness. That was amazing. All right. And then if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Find the right person. Fall in love. Fix all of your hopes and dreams on them. If it fails, find another right person. If that fails, another right person. That's the way of the world. I mean, honestly, at first, when we look at this, even sitting in this room as people in church, most of us Christians, even when we see that, we think, well, that seems right. Because that's what the world has taught us. That's what culture has taught us. That's what the customs and behavior of this life has taught us. Find the right person, fall in love. If they don't give you your hopes and dreams, if they disappoint you, find another right person. But God always has a better way. Let's look at God's way. God's way, become the right person. Ooh, that takes some work on my part. I thought the other person's supposed to be right. I can be whatever I want. They need to be right. If they're right, I'm happy. If I'm happy, everything's right. Right? Become the right person. I like to say it like this. Become the person that the person you're looking for is looking for. Does that sound confusing? That's even hard for me to say. Become the person you want is looking for. For the right person, you should be the right person. Or why would the right person want to be with you? I love talking to people and they give the list of the perfect girl they're looking for. And I'm thinking, man, if you find that girl, she's not going out with you. You got a lot of problems. You know, if we want the right person, we should become the right person. Then walk in love. Don't just fall into it one time. Walk in it. It's a decision. We choose to love every day. In the game we played in the first service this morning, the contestants were a married couple that had been married for 12 years. I'm sure they've had ups and downs. Maybe they had and would describe the fallen love, but they weren't just always fallen. There's ups, there's downs. But they chose to walk in love, to always love. Fix all your hopes and dreams on God. And if you put that on a person, I promise you, you will be disappointed. All my hopes and dreams on you. My happiness on you. My satisfaction and fulfillment in this life on you. You are setting that poor person up to fail. There's no way they can carry that. I can't carry that for Carrie. She can't carry that for me. Man, that's heavy. The only person that will ever fulfill you is God. I guess I could say only person. Jesus came as a person. The only one, maybe that's better. The only one that can fulfill you is God. If you're looking for fulfillment from a person, you're not going to find it. I know many single people are thinking, man, if I find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, then I'm going to be fulfilled. But if God isn't fulfilling you right now, when you find that person, you're still going to be unsatisfied. You're going to be thinking, what's going on? I'm still not happy. It must be her fault. And then you start blaming the other person. Carrie and I put our hopes and dreams on God, and we chase after him together. That's God's way. And the fourth one, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. That means if failure occurs, if, man, things aren't going right, my marriage doesn't seem happy, it's not going good, I don't look for another right person. I'd look to myself and say, am I the right person? We pray like David at that point and say, God, search my heart. See if there's any way in me that needs to be changed. Man, how would that change our fights as married couples? If things were going bad and at that moment you thought, I need to go pray and see if my heart's right. Instead of charging into battle. Man, God, is it me? Is there something I can change? Is there something that I could be doing better? Francis Chan said, most marriage problems are not really marriage problems. They are God problems. Think about that for a moment. Most marriage problems are not really marriage problems. They're God problems. One or both of us have taken our eyes off of God, and that's the problem. If my eyes are on God, our marriage is going to be okay. If Carrie's eyes are on God, our marriage is going to be okay. Really, the problem is, I've got a problem with God and it's making things not go right. Most marriage problems are really not marriage problems. They're God problems. Another pastor that I love and follow, Chris Hodges, in our home state of Alabama, he said, commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you said it in left you. That's a long quote, but that makes sense, doesn't it? We say a lot of things in the right mood, right? Man, it's why I don't meet with people on Sundays. I'm on a high on Sundays. Man, all week long, I prepare for this. I'm excited. I feel like I'm up here with God, and I've got this message he's put in my heart, and I'm sharing it. I see all of you people that I love, and I get to hang out with you. You could ask me anything in the lobby. I'm going to say yes. I'm excited. Pastor Chris, will you go with me to NEOS and we'll preach a Kaka Air for the next 2 weeks? I'm there. Let's go. Till tomorrow morning, I'd wake up like, what did I agree to? I'm going to NEOS for 2 weeks. I got things to do. You know, it was in the mood, man. I have to hide on Sundays. Pastor Kerry can tell you, I have agreed to so many things on Sundays. I'm ready to do whatever. You ask me anything. Let's have dinner every night this week. Let's do it. I'll cook. Well, I don't know how to cook. It's just in the mood. Then the commitment is cooking. You know, the commitment means staying loyal to what you said long after the mood you said it and left you. That means in relationships, man, at this high moment, you're like, I love you. And then things go bad. Do you still love them? Where's the commitment? I remember one time in high school, maybe you guys have had these experiences, because we do this same thing to God. In high school, there was a friend of mine in the band. We played trumpets. We're in the marching band. And he chewed tobacco. I don't know if any of you have ever done that or seen that. It's pretty disgusting. It's gross. It's got nicotine. And have you ever seen the people have like a big thing in their cheek and they're spitting it and it gives like a buzz or a high? This guy had this, not the tobacco, like the leaves, a block of something, and you bite it and chew on it. It was kind of like smoking. You know, in high school, you try to get away with stupid things. I was like, hey, let me try it. Because in high school, you could hand me anything and I would try it. I was a different person. It wasn't that bad. So on the way home, driving my car, I got some. And man, I bit half of the whole block off. I was like, if I'm going, I'm going to go big. I bit the whole thing. On the way home, I started getting so sick, dizzy. If I had looked in the rearview mirror, I promise you my face would have been green. It was horrible. I barely made it home. I went into the house, went past my parents because I didn't want them to know anything was wrong with me. And I was standing in the tub, throwing up, saying, God, if you would make this go away, I'll never touch anything again. Have you ever done that before? In the mood, man, God, I'm desperate. I'll never sin again. I'll never do anything bad. I'll never chew tobacco. I'll never smoke. I'll never drink. I'll always tell my mom I love her and kiss her on the cheek when I leave the house. I just don't want to be sick. Man, it was horrible. We do that at church. You know, in the moment, man, God's moving your heart. God, I give you my life. I'll serve you with my entire life. I'll sell everything I own and move to the other side of the world. And then you wake up Monday morning. What did we tell God we were going to do? That's what happened to us one morning. That's why we're here. No, I'm just kidding. You know, when in the moment, but then the commitment is, how loyal are you to the thing you said you were going to do? That's commitment. That's what we want to talk about today, extraordinary commitment. You will never succeed at anything in life that you are not committed to. We know that. That's not some mind-blowing statement. You'll never succeed at anything you are not committed to. And in high school, I wanted to play electric guitar like Melvin. He's not up here today because of Chinese New Year celebrations. But man, I love electric guitar. I wanted to play. My mom got me an electric guitar one Christmas. I had the amp. I was committed for 3 weeks. I had 3 lessons. I can't play electric guitar. I didn't succeed because my commitment level was very low. I just want to be able to do it. I was even trying to play left-handed like Jimi Hendrix. Like I couldn't play it. I took 2 years of Spanish. 2 years of Spanish in high school. All I can say is, hola, me llamo Chris. That's what 2 years got me. I had no commitment. You may speak better Spanish than me, and there's more Spanish speaking in America. I can't do it. 2 years. It's normally at Spanish class when I got there, I was thinking, oh, I really need a nap. And I'd take a nap in class, just like I did in keyboarding. Keyboarding, that was a good gamble. How many of you are still using typewriters? But man, Spanish, I wish I could speak Spanish, but I didn't do it. No commitment. It's why our marriages fail. It's why relationships fail. If we don't have commitment, we can't succeed. Commitment is a powerful word. It's very similar in some ways linked to love, but in some ways it's even stronger. Love sometimes we confuse with just a feeling. It isn't, but sometimes we confuse it. Commitment, we don't confuse like that. We know commitment Commitment is a decision. It's a choice. It's a vow. We know what commitment means. Look at this from Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. And he sort of is talking about a commitment. He's talking about a marriage. He's talking about some things that happen in this. Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 through 16 says, "You flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful." Be on your guard, and it might as well have said, and be committed. Be committed. Man, if you're ever at that point in your life and you wonder, where is God's favor? Man, I don't feel God's favor on my life. It may be in some area you are lacking in commitment. Maybe your commitment's lacking to God, to your marriage, somewhere that something lacking. The mark is right here, and you're not hitting it, and you're wondering, where is God's favor? He's like, I'm a witness of what's going on in your life. I see what's going on. Missing the mark, the level of commitment is not good enough. Sometimes even just simple things. Husbands checking out another woman. Even sometimes when your wife's there. We were just in Thailand, and Pastor Carrie and I were out to eat, and there was another table with a man and a woman sitting there. And a girl walked by. You guys have seen things like this. Another girl walked by. He almost broke his neck checking the other girl out while there's a woman sitting with him. I mean, I don't know who that was, his wife, his girlfriend. Definitely not his mother. Could have been his sister, but I'm pretty sure not. Little things like that. You won't ever see me doing that. If you walk through Cambridge Mall and you see us eating at a restaurant, you're not going to see me doing that because I'm committed to her and only her. You won't see me doing that anywhere, not just here at Cambridge. I don't check out other girls. I'm committed to Carrie. I don't meet with other girls alone. You won't ever walk through the mall and see me having coffee with someone and saying, oh, it's just an innocent counseling. Remember last week we talked about innocent? You won't see me alone with another woman. If I have to meet with someone, if it's counseling or discussing something, you'll see Pastor Carrie with me. Maybe Stella will be there. Someone will be there. There'll be at least three people. I don't do that because I'm committed. It's not even an option. It's why even the offices are glass. That's intentional. That's not just design. Commitment is very, very important to me. Integrity is very, very important to me. Not only do I not want to do anything wrong, I don't even want anyone to think that I have. So you could see right into my office. You know who's in there if you walk by there. Full commitment. Husbands checking out other women. Wives comparing their husbands to some other guy. Lack of commitment. Carrie never has to have any doubts or concerns or worries about where I am or what I'm doing. Never. I don't have to have those concerns about her. There's commitment. And I believe that God expects the best for us. He has extraordinary for us, better than ordinary. And it's not just for you. It's for your children also. Like this verse, man, he's talking about this lack of commitment. And he even says, hey, didn't I make you? What do I want? I want godly offspring. Sort of like this reminder that, hey, your kids are watching what you do. When my kids, man, our kids know that I love and am committed to my wife. Do you know what that's going to do? That's going to affect my children's marriages. It's going to affect it. they're going to grow up and have good marriages because they've seen it modeled. Pastor Carrie and I both came from divorced, broken homes. After 8 months of marriage, we were seeing attorneys to get divorced. The same attorney that my dad had used. Why? Because there's generational things that pass on. Man, we had so much divorce in our family. Then when we have problems, that's just, oh, here's what you do. I got to find another right person. Man, what do I do? Hey, let me tell you what I did. Here's the card from my attorney. Man, you don't need that from your family. We had to make the decision. You know what? We're committed. We're going to break this thing right now. So I don't worry about it passing down to my kids and my grandkids. God wants godly offspring. They're watching everything we do. A perfect marriage is just two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. Man, I love that quote. Just two imperfect people. We're not going to give up on each other. Sometimes you're at that point. Man, if the whole fell in love feeling is gone, you may be at that point where it's like, you know what? All I've got right now is that we refuse to give up on each other. The commitment. Extraordinary commitment. Not like the world. This isn't the time. Things are tough. This isn't the time to end it and start looking for the other Mr. Right and the other Mrs. Right. They're not out there. This is a time to say, I'm going to remain loyal to the thing that I said I was committed to. Carrie and I made that decision almost 24 years ago that no matter what, we were going to make our marriage work. We made the decision that divorce was not even a word used in our home. We don't have a fight and then I'll just leave. Never. That doesn't happen. 24 years, that never comes out of our mouths. Why? Because we were too close to seeing it happen. Everything was almost destroyed. God saved us. He transformed us. I believe part of that is why we see God's favor in our life. Because of our commitment to one another. Man, married couples, if you want God's favor, be committed. Be committed. It wasn't always like that. That's why I can understand this verse that when he's saying, you are committing violence. You are doing violence to the one you should protect. Man, before knowing God, Carrie and I did a lot of violence to each other. A lot of violence to our relationship. I don't mean fist fighting. There's other kinds of violence. I would never take Pastor Carrie on in a fist fight. Why? Because she would beat me up. I'm just telling you that. I'm not too prideful to say that. This is a fact for you. She is a black belt in karate. I knew that going in. I knew that to begin with. That's something guys in dating relationships, maybe fit that into the conversation with the girl, like, oh, so nice. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite band? Are you trained in any martial arts? Maybe ask that before you go into it. Then you know where to go in the future. Like, at some point in any fight, I'm out, you win. But man, we did violence with our tongues, the words. We took out the physical violence on our first apartment. We did not get the security deposit back. I didn't hit Carrie, but I punched a hole through the door. Man, we tore up some things. I know that might not sound like what pastors do. That was before God saved us and transformed us. So being there, man, I understand what that violence looks like. We weren't protecting each other. Man, we hurt each other. We weren't protecting our marriage. We weren't protecting the relationship. So when I read this, you do violence to the one you should protect. And I know what that feels like. How many of you in a fight, you try to think of the most hurtful thing you could say? You remind me of your mother. No, I'm just kidding. But that hurts sometimes, married couples. You're just like your dad. Hey, we try to hurt each other. This will get her. And God says, you're doing violence to the one you should protect. You're doing violence to the one you should protect. Husbands, when you hurt your wife, you're hurting God. I don't care if it's physical, emotional, just your words. Man, you're breaking God's heart, let alone this woman standing here that you're supposed to protect. God says, you're doing violence to the one you should protect. Wives, when you hurt your husband, you are hurting God himself. This is what he's teaching us. What kind of commitment do we have? Why do we keep doing violence to one another? Why are we hurting each other? God says, this is what you're supposed to protect. And if you do this right, my favor is going to be on you. Get this right. Extraordinary commitment. Can I ask the worship team to come up? I won't be able to get to all the notes today, so if you use YouVersion, you'll have a little bonus of some other verses, but I just want to get to the heart of it today. Last week, talking about we need extraordinary love, and following that up in your relationships, you have got to have extraordinary commitment. I refuse to give up on this. Life is ups and downs. Some of you right now may be like we saw with Tagu and Stella. They're on the peak. Man, they know everything about each other, happy, having fun. Man, when you're in a relationship for years and years, you're going to have low points. That's just life. But when you're at that low point, are you still loyal? Are you still committed? Can you look at each other and say, hey, I refuse to give up on this. There's no way I'm going anywhere. I'm committed. Man, when you have someone like that to walk through life with, we can be in the heat of a battle, the heat of a fight. We don't fight that much. Everyone fights some. Pat Benatar says love is a battlefield, right? We could be right in the middle of the battle. Neither of us has any doubts that the other one's not going anywhere. We're committed. Five things you need to be committed to. Number one, be committed to God. The way you show commitment is you prioritize, you pursue, and protect. Man, with God, prioritize. He is number one always. Nothing comes before God. Put him at priority number one. Pursue him. He pursued you. Pursue him. Man, I want to know him more. Man, I got to be at church. I want to learn more. I need to pray this morning. I can't miss my devotion. God, I'm pursuing you because I'm committed. And then protect that relationship. God, I don't want to sin because I don't want to hurt what we have together. Lead me not unto temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. God, search my heart. Remove anything wicked in there because I want to protect our relationship. With your marriage, man, prioritize. Husbands, your wife should be number two in your priority list, second only to God. Wives, your husband should be number two, second only to God. That's according to God's kingdom. It may not be according to the cultures of this world, but according to the culture of our God. Your partner's number two. Prioritize. Pursue. Men chase after her like you did when you were dating. Sometimes we get her, it's like we won a prize. We're chasing, we're working hard, we're buying gifts, we're saying it, we're writing it, we're living it, we're doing everything that we can. Then when we get married, got her, there's my prize. I don't have to pursue anymore. You never say you love me anymore. I said it one time when we got married. Keep pursuing and then protect it. Don't do violence. Don't try to hurt. Be committed to each other. And that's what life group is. Man, commit to a life group. Get involved. It will be the best thing you do this year. We do semesters because I don't want, you know, some life group leader to bring you a list. Hey, sign up for my life group. Oh, great. How long is it? Salam alamanya. No one wants to sign up for that life group. When will it end? Sampai Maranatha. When Jesus returns, you can leave my group. Can I put you down? No. But anyone can commit for 12 weeks. Get together, make some friends, build some relationships. You may feel like, hey, I don't need anyone. Things are good right now. They need you. We need each other. We're not meant to live this life alone. We need each other. Man, there's some good life groups. Sign up, start this week. Look on the website. Be committed to the church. Be committed to the church. Man, we were in Bangkok this last week with pastors and church planters from all over Asia, around Indonesia, Japan, China, Thailand, where else? Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines, all of them gathered. Man, people committed to the church and the mission of the church. They invited us because they wanted us to tell them how we do it here in Maidan. Why? Because you are a great church. You are. We're the church together. Man, things are happening here. They're like, tell us what's going on in Maidan. It's because of your commitment. Man, the giving, the serving, the loving each other, be committed. These are things we should be committed to with an extraordinary commitment. Could I ask you to stand, please? I'm teaching you this today because I believe that this will change your relationships. Man, if you're at home and the next time you start to get into a fight, you stop for a minute, you think, you know what? God, I don't want to commit violence to the one that you've told me to protect. I love this person. Step back for a minute. Change. God, things aren't going good. Search my heart, God. Search my heart. Can we close our eyes for a moment? Part of the whole reason of this and why commitment is so important is because God is committed to you. God is committed to you. He doesn't ask us to do things he hasn't done. He's committed. You are a priority. The way we know that is he sent his own son to lay down his life for us. That was God putting you first. I'll lay down my life so I can rescue them. He pursued you. We talk about this all the time. Most of you in this room, you know where you were when God chased you down and found you. Even in that darkest place, and he came to you and said, hey, I've got a better way. And then he protects you. And he transforms you. And he changes your life from ordinary to extraordinary. Father, we thank you for your words today, Lord. I thank you for the encouragement. Lord, I thank you for the challenge. I love that we can gather in your house. We can have fun and laugh together. We can live our lives together. We can be reminded of your words, Lord, even sometimes when they're difficult, challenging, maybe sometimes even hard to understand, Lord, and your spirit opens your word to us and shows us a better way. Lord, we do not want to live by the world's way anymore. We want to live by our Father in heaven's way. Transform us, Lord. Give us a new culture. Lord, I pray your favor over every single family represented in this place. Lord, as we begin to show extraordinary love and live with extraordinary commitment, Lord, I pray your favor and your blessing. Lord, I pray your peace, your healing, your restoration. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that models relationships. Lord, that we would be a church that models godly marriages. Lord, that we would be a church that raises up godly children that know which way to live because they've seen their parents do it. Bless us, God. Bless your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.